where we are in our Bible study. If you have a church bulletin, if you look on the back, there's a couple to Rome, where Paul would eventually make his appeal before Caesar Augustus. And starting in verse 2 and coming on down through to verse number 8, we studied about their journey from where they were in Caesarea to a place called the Fair Havens. You see this in verse number 8. It says, "And hardly passing it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia." This Fair Havens was on the island of Crete. And this is where they make it to after a while of traveling. And in verse 9 it says, "Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them." And we talked about Paul's admonishment last Sunday, how he told them that this voyage, talking about the voyage leaving from where they were and proceeding on, he said, "This voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." And then in verse 11, we saw where it said the centurion, that's Julius, believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. As we proceed on in the next couple of verses, we'll see that these people completely ignored what Paul had to say. He gave them admonishment. We talked last week about how an admonishment is mild advice, gentle advice, but it's a warning. It's a warning of danger or something bad that will happen in the future. So Paul admonished them, and these people just completely ignored what Paul had to say. And one reason, according to verse number 11, that they ignored Paul's admonishment was because they believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. They really didn't think Paul knew what he was talking about. They believed the master of the ship and the owner of the ship had more knowledge and more understanding and more insight than Paul, and so certainly they would know what was best. And normally speaking, that would be the case. But the thing is, Paul is a saved man. He is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been fasting according to verse number 9 and no doubt been praying while fasting. And God has given him some insight, a perception about this voyage. And so in this situation, even though he's not a owner of a ship or a master of a ship, he does have more understanding about the situation than these other men. But they don't think so, so they ignore what he has to say. And we talked last time about how oftentimes people don't think the preacher knows what he's talking about. So they just blow him off. He says something, he issues an admonishment or a rebuke, an exhortation, whatever the case, but they think he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just a dumb preacher. So we're not going to listen to what he has to say, and they go on and do what it is they want to do, or perhaps what some other individual counsels them to do. I have been amazed through the years, I must say, at where a lot of Christians get their advice. And I can tell you that a lot of Christians are getting their advice from the wrong sources. They're looking to people in places that are not of God, and they're not in line with the Bible, and consequently, they're suffering greatly because of taking counsel from people they have no business taking counsel from. But I want you to look at verse number 12, and we'll notice here a few more reasons why they ignored what Paul had to say. In verse 12 it says, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in." Paul has basically told them, we need to just hunker down and stay where we are for the winter. Right now is a very dangerous time to be out on the sea. We just need to stay right here. God has shown me this. I have this perception, so we need to stay. But it says this haven was not commodious to winter in. The word commodious means spacious or roomy. So there wasn't a whole lot of space, a whole lot of room in this haven, which means that it would have been a little bit inconvenient for them to stay where they were. It would have been a little bit inconvenient because they would have been a little more cramped where they were than perhaps other places they might could go. And for this reason, they think we need to leave where we are. We need to find us a place that's more roomy, more spacious. It's more convenient for us. And that is a reason why oftentimes people ignore what God has to say through his messenger. A lot of Christians are looking for what you might call a convenient Christianity. They want a Christianity that does not require any sacrifice. They want a Christianity that does not require any cross-bearing, any self-denial, that does not come with any persecution. That's what most Christians want. They want that type of Christianity. And I just want to say to you this morning, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a convenient Christianity, okay? You cannot be a Christian and everything be convenient in your life. It does not work that way. You won't find that described anywhere in the Bible, including the New Testament and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. No such thing as a convenient Christianity. That's what a lot of people want. Now, you can get saved real easy. All you have to do is put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did for you on the cross. That's not difficult at all. It's very simple. One of the simplest things that a person could possibly do. But being a Christian is a completely different thing altogether. Being a Christian means to be Christ-like. It's you being like the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. It's you being a follower of what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And there is no way that you can be a Christian and live in convenience all of your life. It's not going to work that way. That's what Christians want, many of them, or what saved people desire, but you can't have that. According to Jesus Christ, if you're going to be his disciple, not if you're going to be saved, but if you're going to be his disciple, then you must deny yourself. How many of you are honest enough to admit this morning that denying yourself is not convenient? That's not what your flesh wants, is it? Your flesh doesn't want self-denial. It doesn't want to be put down and denied when it has cravings and desires for things. But you must deny yourself. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's not convenient. You must take up your cross. Anything convenient about that? Anything? No. There's nothing convenient about bearing a cross. And he did add in the word daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Okay. And the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Isn't that what the Bible says? Now that's a promise from the Bible just like Philippians 4:13. But we love them kind of promises, don't we? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Praise the Lord for that. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful promise in the Bible. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, the called according to his. We love all that, don't we? But how about this promise? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You like that one as much? But it's just as true, isn't it? It's just as true as any promise you'll find between the two covers of the Word of God. There is no such thing as convenient Christianity. But that's what people want. It's what saved people want. They don't want anything to rock the boat. They're satisfied with their life just like it is. We don't want anything that's going to cause things to get shook up. That's going to alter my life at all. Don't want any of that. I want convenience. I want a convenient Christianity. You cannot have that. There is no such thing as convenient Christianity. If you are going to follow Jesus Christ, there will be time after time after time after time in your life when you are met with inconvenience. That's just the way it is. But, verse number 12, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, wasn't convenient for them. It's going to make them have to suffer a little bit. It's going to be put out a little bit if they stayed there, and they didn't want that. Christians don't want to be put out. We don't like that. Don't like it. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, notice the more part. There's your majority. The more part, isn't that the majority? That means the majority, the most. The majority of these advised to depart thence also. They gave their advice. The majority said, we need to leave. One man, as far as I can tell, far as I can tell, one man said. And there were some of Paul's companions here, and I'm sure they were in agreement with Paul. But as far as any of them verbalizing what needed to be done, as far as I can tell, it was only Paul who spoke up and said, we need to stay right where we are. Best thing we can do is just stay right here. Maybe a little inconvenient, may put us out a little bit, but we need to stay right where we are. Then there's a whole bunch of others who spoke up and they gave their advice. People like to do that. People like to give their advice, don't they? Love to speak up. Love to say what they think. Love for everybody to know what's on their mind, what their opinion is. And I'm not necessarily saying that's always wrong, but I have learned through the years that sometimes it's best just to keep your mouth shut. And in every situation, you don't have to give your opinion. You don't have to. You can just be quiet. Just keep it between you and the Lord, can't you? I don't know if some people can. But sometimes the best thing to do is just keep it to yourself. You don't have to verbalize everything that's on your mind. People I've heard say just bragging, you know, well, if it comes in my mind, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to tell everybody how I feel. Well, shame on you. That ain't something to brag about. That's not something to be proud of. There's times when you need to keep your mouth shut. Amen. Boy, Sunday school's good this morning, isn't it? I'm telling you, sometimes the best thing to do is keep your mouth shut. It's not necessary for everybody to know your opinion, okay? But here, this the more part advised. They all spoke up. And I'll tell you this, you got to watch out for the majority a lot of the time. The majority of the time, you got to watch out for the majority. Hear what I'm saying? In the Bible, that's the truth. If you read your Bible, and that's what's the standard, amen? I mean, we're not going to go by something other than that. The standard, the authority is the Word of God. And if you go by the Bible, the majority is wrong. The majority of the time. That's how it is. The more part. Just because a whole bunch of people agree and say this is what we need to do, that does not mean it's the right thing. There are more people in this country right now who say it's all right to be a sodomite, right, than those of us who say that it's not right. So does that make it right? Just because the majority of people speak up and say something like that's right doesn't mean it's right. You need to be careful. Just because a whole bunch of people are telling you something or suggesting something or advising something, that does not mean that's the will of God for your life. It does not mean that's what you ought to do. But so many times, people go with the majority. One reason people go with the majority is because they don't want to stand out. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. You got Paul, he's saying, we better stay here. Better stay where we are. And there's a whole big giant crowd of people saying, no, we need to go. We need to go. We need to go. We got to get out of here. You know what that did? That made Paul stick out like a sore thumb. He's standing out there just by himself basically saying, we need to stay right here, everybody. It's where we need to stay. We're safe here. Maybe a little inconvenient, but this is where God wants us to stay right now. We need to stay right where we are. And everybody else said, no, we need to go. We need to go. He's sticking out like a sore thumb. The average Christian just can't handle that. To stand out, to be made a spectacle, to be what the Bible calls a reproach for Jesus Christ. Most Christians can't handle that. Just the thought. I mean, they don't have to get into it. Just the thought that somebody might think they're a little weird is what causes many Christians to never stand up for Jesus Christ. Just that thought that, hey, you know, if I speak up, I'm going to look like a fool here. The majority of the people are saying this is what we ought to do. So if I speak up and say, hey, whoa, that ain't right, then I'm just going to stand out here. I'm gonna all by myself, going to just stick out like a sore thumb. And people going to think I'm crazy, think I'm one of them nutty Christians. And so you know what most do? They just don't ever say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. Because they're worried about standing out, worried about what somebody's going to think about them. And some people are deceived enough that they actually believe in their mind that the majority's right, when that is not always the case. Just because the majority says so does not mean it's right. Now look at the remainder of this verse. Verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to enter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete. So this was another place in Crete, on the island of Crete, which is in haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And so we need to leave. We need to get to this place. Where we are is not convenient. But if we can get over here to Phoenice, there's a haven there that's better than where we are. Be more suitable for us. You know what they think? They think the grass is greener over there at Phoenice than where they are. Boy, doesn't that get a lot of people in trouble? The grass is greener. The grass is greener. They get to thinking in their mind that where they are is just, you know, not as good as where it might be somewhere else. If I can just get out of this situation I'm in and get over here, then things are going to be so much better. There's been many a person that left where they were for greener pastures and now wish to God they'd have never left. They were convinced in their mind when they left, wherever they were, man, it's better over here. Got to be. There's been many a man that left his wife thinking the grass was greener, and now he's living in mortal hell. And you could reverse that around, ladies. Been many a woman left her husband thinking, well, this fella here, he'll treat me so much better. My husband's just not nice. He don't give me flowers. He don't take me out. And that sucker that's doing all that for you, as soon as he gets you, he ain't going to do it no more either. You hear what I'm saying? But the grass is greener. Remember what I told y'all, gave an illustration one time. Fella, I heard this guy preaching. He was talking about how he owned 40 acres of land. And he said the greenest grass on his entire 40 acres was right over his septic tank. That's right. You ever notice your yard where that septic tank is and those field lines are? Be greener grass there than it is anywhere. But underneath that's a mess, ain't it? Underneath that green grass, you'll get in a stinky mess is what you'll get in. Just because it looks better over here doesn't mean it's better. Been many a person left the church where they were getting fed the word of God because they thought over here they got more for my kids. Yeah. They probably do got more games, trips to the beach where they walk around lust after one another. I'm going to tell you the truth, folks. I'm just going to tell you the truth. That's what a lot of this junk that's going on in these churches, that's exactly what's happening. And parents will pull their kids out of a church where their kids are getting taught the word of God every Sunday to get them off in some kind of mess like that. Next thing you know, the little 13-year-old daughter's knocked up and pregnant. Well, it's crude, isn't it? But you know I'm telling you the truth. Grass isn't always greener, friend. Not always greener. Boy, they thought it was. Man, we got to get out of here over at Phoenice. It's better over there. We get to that place, we'll be all right. And look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, this is while they're still at the fair havens. The south wind's blowing softly right now. Look at the next word, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So they finally leave. You know another reason why they ignored what Paul said? Because right then in the moment, it didn't appear that what he said was the truth. He told them, look, this voyage is going to be bad. But they're looking around, the south wind's blowing softly. And how's the weather when the south wind blows, by the way? It's warm, isn't it? The book of Job talks about how that south wind warms the land. That's what it does. You ever notice down here, when the wind's blowing out of the north, temperature usually starts dropping, doesn't it? But you let it shift around, that wind start blowing out of the south, pumping up some of that Gulf air from down there in the Gulf, and the temperature goes up, doesn't it? Warms up. That's how it is. And the south wind is blowing softly here. So you know it's warm where they are. They're out on an island. Got that warm sea breeze blowing on them, and the sun's a-shining, and boy, they think, that Paul's crazy. Look at this good weather here. Look how nice it is. That man's out of his mind. Let's get out of here. Let's go for those greener pastures. And so supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they left. People ignore God because in the moment that they hear something, they don't see anything bad going on. They don't see anything bad right now, so they don't think that what's being told is the truth. Folks, let's all admit this morning that all we can see is what's right in front of us, correct? You can't see what's down the road in front of you. You can't see that. Only God knows the truth about that. You don't have any earthly idea. And things may be okay right now, but God may be admonishing you to spare you from some trouble that you'll face down the road. And that was certainly the case right here. Because look at verse 14. The Bible says, but not long after. Well, they left. That south wind was blowing. The sun was shining. Everything was good. It didn't take long for things to change, did it? There's one thing I have learned growing up and coming through life is that things can change in a hurry. It doesn't take a long time. I'm talking about you can literally go in just a few moments of time from everything in your life seeming fine to your whole world being turned upside down. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all. Not long after, there arose against it, against this ship, a tempestuous wind. When they left, they had a south wind that was blowing softly. Now, in just a short period of time, they're in a tempestuous wind. The word tempestuous means violent. They're in a violent wind, and the name of this was called Euroclydon, or Euroclydon. You can say it either way. I guess people back then named their storms like they do now. You ever notice how those meteorologists put a name on all these hurricanes and tropical storms and stuff that come along? Well, somebody put a name on this one. And it was a bad one. Verse 15 says, and when the wind was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. There wasn't nothing they could do. They just had to let her go where she was going to go. Just had to let her drive. That's how bad the wind was. They tried. They fought it. They did what they could. They were like those disciples that were out there on the Sea of Galilee when the Lord told them to go over. And all of a sudden, that great storm of wind come up. Jesus back on the land, he looks out there and he says that he saw them toiling and rowing. Man, they rowing, doing everything they can to make sure that they stay on course. Well, here's a bunch of people in a ship and the wind's blowing so hard. They fight it, but they just eventually had to let it go, just let her drive. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we, notice Luke includes himself, so you know Luke was one of Paul's companions at this time. Aristarchus, also a Macedonian of Thessalonica, according to verse 2, was with Paul at the time. We had much work to come by the boat. Boat's getting all beat up. That's what Paul told them was going to happen, right? There's going to be much damage. Much damage. It's dangerous. We need to stay here. Much damage is going to come. So they had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship as something to strengthen the hull of the ship, to hold the thing together. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, evidently there was a lot of quicksand on this island, strake sail, and so were driven. So they back out on the ocean or back out on the sea and are just being blown all over the place. Verse 18, and we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They're throwing stuff out now, cargo and such, trying to make the ship lighter. It's a thing you do to hopefully help prevent the thing from sinking. Makes it a little easier to steer. The third day we cast out with our own hands. Now the prisoners are involved. They're helping out. We cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. That'd be the stuff that you used on board the ship to do things with. Like when you say you got fishing tackle, well, you mean you got hooks and rods and reels, things that you used to fish with. Well, the tackling of the ship, that'd be the stuff you used on board the ship, the different equipment and such that you had there. So they're throwing it out now. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. So this goes on for quite a while. It's not something that just blows through and is gone. They're stuck in this storm for a good while. Many days. For many days they didn't see the sun or any stars. Nothing. And no small tempest lay on us. If it wasn't a small tempest, then it was a big tempest. So all this time, this big tempest is laying on them, and Luke says all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They just resigned that they were going to die. It was over. Do you suppose that these people wished they had never left the Fair Havens? Yeah. They wished they would have been back where it was a little bit inconvenient for them. You can either have it a little bit inconvenient or you can have it a whole lot inconvenient. The Lord can shake your whole world up if he wants to. You understand that? He can just shake your whole world up. Just turn you upside down, put you on your head, or let the devil do it, whatever the case. And this is what's going on. I guarantee you, every one of them was thinking, man, I wish we'd have listened to what Paul had to say. Sure would have saved us a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble if we'd have just listened to what Paul had to say. It's amazing the trouble that people get themselves in, trouble they could have avoided. And I'm going to put myself in this. I think probably all of us are guilty to some extent. I know I have been in my lifetime. It's amazing the trouble that we could have avoided if we'd have just listened to what God had to say. Amen? We just listen to the Lord. Instead of doing what we think is right or what the majority says is right or going with what's convenient or thinking the grass is green, if we just do what God says, we could save ourselves so much trouble, so much hassle. There's storms we've been through in our lives that we could have avoided completely. Just never had. I mean, it was unnecessary to go through those storms. Folks, in life, there's going to be storms, enough storms that are going to come that you don't cause, okay? That you don't need to add to that by doing something that brings on a storm. You follow what I'm saying? Just in life, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. In this life, there's going to be enough tribulation, enough storms without us adding to our storms. We don't need to add to it and bring more stuff into our life. There's going to be plenty without us helping out in that category, okay? And this is something that could have been completely avoided if they'd have just listened to what Paul had to say. They didn't listen. I remember one time in particular, and there's been so many occasions like this through the years that I literally could give you just one illustration after another. But I remember one time in particular when I was pastoring another church. I had a family in my church at that time. They were good people, and I loved them very dearly. Had two children. And it was very clear that they were about to make a bad decision. And I had talked to them, and I think other people had talked to them. And one particular Sunday, we had a missionary in. And it was just a missionary I had scheduled months before, and it happened to be that Sunday that he came. And I didn't say anything to that man. Nothing at all. to him about this family and about their situation. I didn't talk to him about anybody in our church, for that matter, anything that anybody was dealing with or going through. And he starts preaching. And it didn't take long before it became pretty clear to me that the Lord was speaking to that family. It was unbelievable. He actually came down. They were sitting on the second row, like where my mother is at. And that missionary came down out of the pulpit with no knowledge of these people and anything going on in their life, and got right down in front of them and stuck his finger in their face and told them what they needed to do. When I say told them, I don't mean he was just talking to them. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He was preaching to the whole congregation, but the Lord was very definitely speaking to that man and woman. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. This, you know, surely this, you know what they did? They ignored everything that I had said, that preacher said, and they went right on. And it was unbelievable the hell that that family went through in the days following. As a matter of fact, I've been gone from that church now for probably 18 years. I saw that family, saw the mother and the father 2 years ago, I think. Both of their children, just lives ruined, totally messed up, in jail. One of them got hooked on meth, made him a meth lab, blew up. He's blind as a bat now, literally. He can't see anything. Blew up in his face, took his eyesight. Him and his wife split up. Their whole world just fell apart. And to this day, 18 years later, they're still in a mess. And what I'm trying to say to you is that every bit of that could have been avoided if they'd have just did what God told them to do. Folks, I want you to understand something. I'm fixing to be done. When you make the decision that you're going to step out of the will of God, it is very possible that you're going to go through the worst storm you have ever been through in your entire life. I don't mean something small and minuscule that doesn't have very bad effects. God could let you go through something that lingers on for years and years and years, and you could possibly feel the effects of that for the rest of your time down here on this earth. It is no small thing. It is not something trivial for you to blow off what God tells you about and continue to do what you want to do. It's a very serious matter. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity to be in church here. And Lord, this has been a very serious Bible study. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help each one of us here to take what we've heard to heart. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to make any decision we might need to make. And if there's anything we're about to do, Lord, that you've been speaking to us about and telling us we shouldn't do, God, help us. Give us a grace to make the right choice. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take a break.